nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are reclaimable, black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements provided.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Russ Dizdar, and we're going to be talking about the dark or the black awakening, and of course that this movement within the demonic realm to bring chaos to our country. Now, when we talk about that seems so incredible, so strange, and yet this is not imaginary, it's really very real, and Russ has the unique opportunity of working with many of the people who are victims of either satanic ritual abuse or CIA ritual abuse or ritual abuse of some sort and developed dissociative personalities. But there are really, literally millions of people out there across America today who have these personalities. So without further ado, Rush, why don't you share your experience working with these tragic people who have, we'll call it multiple personalities, dissociative personalities, but hidden deeply within the layering, many of these people are truly demonic spirits. Russ, you pick up the story.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Monteith. Great to be here again with you. And we've been working this in this field for over 20-some years, and it is a tragedy, and more people are becoming aware. And what we have is both a very evil technology that flowed from the Nazis into our culture in the late 40s and the beginning of the 50s. But literally hundreds of thousands of children were involved in the programs in the 50s. So now we're seeing hundreds of thousands, to the point some estimate 4.5 million diagnosed cases. Now this means that the human personality has been split. What we mean by that, there's been such trauma and such force applied to the child personality that it literally dissociates to the point that there's a snapping or a splitting, and an alter personality is developed. And that alter personality, well, that can happen in regular trauma, but this is purposed and planned and forced and made. So with the millions of diagnosed cases, we're talking then millions of purposely split personalities in these children. And it all began, Dr. Stan, in childhood. It all began with children. This didn't start with, 40 and 50-year-old adults. That's the sad thing. And now we're seeing the 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds and mid-50s, the victims that are packed in psych wards, counseling centers all across the United States, costing millions upon millions in insurance funding, and the goal is to help them deal with finding out that they do have subpersonalities, and that they've lost time, that they've lost many years of their life, and that they've been used for very horrific things.
Well, now how do you separate this dissociative personality from what we used to call, or we do call, schizophrenia?
Sure. The distinct difference is that there is a distinct, clear step, even in the DSM-4 and so forth, the Diagnostic Manual for Psychology, you have to have a separate, total, different alter, different age, different memory, as compared to schizophrenia, which has primarily they call them delusions and everything else going on in voices. But the difference is distinct, separate subpersonalities.
In other words, the dissociative personality, there'll be multiple personalities. The schizophrenic will just have one personality, but they both will hear voices and have these delusions.
Absolutely.
Hold that, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Russ Dizdarm. And Russ is on with us a couple of months ago, but I wanted to have him on again as we talk today really about the literally millions of people across America who have these personality disorders. They're dissociative personality disorders. Some of them are the victims of ritual childhood abuse because they come from satanic families. People find this difficult to believe, but every once in a while we'll simply catch a glimpse of this. In fact, we just posted on our website an interview that Oprah Winfrey did, maybe looked like probably 15 years ago, with some woman who had actually been abused when she was a child, and her family came from a satanic cult. It was fascinating to hear her tell the story, and somebody just put it up on the internet. Fascinating little clip. Going into the background, this is not imaginary, it's really very real. But, of course, it's much more prevalent, and what people don't understand is that some of these has actually been introduced by government mind-control experiments. And those people, remember the program that was on television some years ago, The Pretender, that was really taken from the real stories of people who had actually been abducted, who had actually been programmed by the intelligence agencies. But, of course, the story is so bizarre that nobody would ever believe them. And we've certainly talked to Kathy O'Brien, who is a victim of that, and we have my interviews with her if you ever want to get those. But Kathy was simply one of really millions of victims of these various programs. So, Russ, certainly you say, what, between, what, 1 and 3 or 4 million people out there at the present time?
Sure. At least that at this point. There's those that say there are higher numbers. Dr. Colin Ross mentions about, in his book anyway, up to 10 million. And many of those, some of those, maybe half, undiagnosed. They've never been to a psychiatric ward or a counseling center. So the sheer volume is overwhelming. In the 70s, it was just, you know, a few people coming in. And back then, they were misdiagnosed as schizophrenic because they would talk about crazy episodes and ritual abuse and seeing demons and hearing voices and blood rituals, and so they were kind of written off until even psychology had to come to terms with this concept of a sub-personality inside a human being. And so the diagnostic manual eventually from the American Psychological Association came out with definitions and diagnosis. Now, the strange thing, though, Dr. Monteith, is that the president of the American Psychological Association...
Hold that. Sure. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Russ is talking about these people with multiple personalities. And you were beginning to talk about the president of the American Psychological or Psychiatric Association. Was that you and Cameron?
Well, he was one that was definitely involved and knew how to de-pattern and reestablish separate personalities. But G.H. Esterbrooks, who wrote that little book, Hypnotism, in 1947, he already spilled the beans that they had learned how, and that it was, and he even has a chapter called Weaponizing Hypnosis. And their view in that part of that chapter is they had the ability to create separate sub-personalities for military use, training sub-personalities to be assassins, to run disinformation schemes, to be a mole so they can get reconnaissance. In other words, the sub-personality would be the one obtaining the information, trained to as a spy, whereas the upfront main person wouldn't even know what's going on. So among psychiatrists on that level, they knew this stuff, and it was specialized and weaponized by the military, and then the projects began. And here's where we have to track back, because you're talking that in all these cases, let's even just say hundreds of thousands instead of millions, though there are millions, that when they tell these stories in their 40s and 50s of, they have blocked memory in their childhood, in the early teenage years, they begin to remember this, this episode of abuse in this place, in laboratories or ritual sites. They remember ancient languages. They realize that they have voices and conversations in their head. And many of them that I've dealt with begin to realize and come to terms with and begin to even converse with the separate sub-personalities within. And it is bizarre.
Well, I think, of course, one of the most interesting things is that these people would know ancient languages. One of the things that certainly the Catholic Church requires before an exorcism is the fact that these the people will be able to speak in a foreign language that they've never learned. But the demon knows the language, and they can converse in this foreign language. It's certainly one of the things. And apparently this is really not uncommon with these people who really have this demonic implantation. Is that correct?
That's correct. The dark side is real. I mean, anyone who does believe the Bible and knows the living Christ and the reality of God has to, on a biblical format, realize and believe what the Scriptures teach about this side. But the difficulty is that most Christians never really encounter. Once we've encountered these demonic presences inside, and the sub-personalities may have 5, 10, 30 demonic spirits attached, empowered, and Dr. Stan, they have abilities, they have powers, they demonstrate, like Mark chapter 5, supernatural strength, and it's pretty bizarre, and it's different than just what would be conceived as normal possession, because we have now, like a tree on the inside, there's one trunk, one person basically, but many branches, separate sub-personalities, that have training and that have been demonized and have acquired demonic presence. And we have eventually discovered again and again and again and again with case after case now, and more cases are coming out across the United States, that they know they've been created and raised to be some kind of super soldier, to be some kind of demonically empowered, advanced human being. And in my case, with most of those that have called themselves on the inside chosen ones, every one of them that have sub-personalities that are called chosen ones have those that speak German, that they believe in a coming new world order. They believe that they're here to be the troops to help bring the world into great chaos and then to help reestablish a new world order under a new world leader.
In other words, these people probably never heard programs such as mine or many of the others around here, but they honestly believe, and this is programmed into them, that this period of chaos is coming to the United States.
Dr. Stan, I believe with all my heart at this point, what I've seen and what urgently needs to be looked into is, again, where do they all come from? Yes, they're here. That's established. They're in psych wards and counseling centers, and counselors and leaders and pastors have been raised up. And the ongoing ministry to them has been, you know, since they really broke out in the 80s, is when books began to be written and materials began to be laid out and attempts at helping them. More information was found, more. Well, in the 80s, our goal was to see them healed, but because of the stories, we wanted to build a kind of a little team that would go after the knowledge. Where they said this military base or this house or this individual or this ritual site, all the information, we began to track and travel and stay out till late night, overnight, travel to other states. That involved engaging people with weapons, people in black uniforms, digging up bones and bringing them back to the university here that were displayed in the cult crime police academy course. We've just seen so much of it that they're not just victims of satanic ritual abuse only, not just victims of sexual abuse only. They have there's a plot and agenda behind it, and there are so many of them. We have watched when they have been triggered. We have seen them with the ability to take people out, drop people. We've met the inside sub-persons that are called assassins. I conversed with one that handed me a weapon one night, And that's all they know. They're here to, when they're called on, they're here just to kill, just to unleash the chaos. And they've called this thing coming, they call it the Black Awakening, a satanic chaos, a mass anarchy. It will involve taking out political leaders. They have assignments, and they have in the midst of the chaos they will unleash, that will be culture-wide. It won't just be in one Baptist church or in one high school or on one building. Their mentality is blowing up places, taking out pre-chosen what they would see as resistors in government, in the realm of Christianity, and law enforcement. We have engaged them in law enforcement. We've engaged them in the military. We've engaged them in politics. That's where they've been planted. They're considered. They understand what a sleeper is, and by the thousands that are still intact, Dr. Monti, they are waiting to be released. And when we've seen even one of them unleashed, it took a lot of physical effort to stop them, to bring them down, and to keep them from harming someone or themselves.
I'm reminded, of course, talking recently, we did some studying on the murder of RFK, and of course, nobody ever talks about Saran. Saran was deeply involved in the occult. He was actually into Rosicrucianism, Theosophy, but when he was there in the kitchen there after he had shot Bobby Kennedy, and here's Rosie Grier, here is another 300 or 350-pound athlete, and they're laying on this little 120-pound kid, and the three other people on top of him, and he's throwing them off. He has superhuman strength. Of course, the first thing he did when he got into prison was ask for a copy of Madame Blavatsky's book, The Secret Doctrine. Most people have heard of that. They just can't connect the dots, understanding that here, a little boy like that, having a little man like that, having supernatural strength and being able to throw Rosie Grier and another 300-pound man off the top of him. Have you witnessed the supernatural strength that these people manifest?
Oh, absolutely. Physically, yes. We've been struck, hit. We've had to, at times, even when they were in our vehicle traveling, as we were talking, when they switched to the alter personality that was a runner, Dr. Monteith, we've had them open the car door so quickly and jump out before we can stop, roll on the ground. We've had to, deal with them fighting in the car, attempting to stab individual staff members. We've watched as a 120-pound woman who was a federal officer's wife. When she would switch to the cult demonized personality, she took out two of our people that could not handle her, and it's remarkable that when the switch to the other personality occurs, how quick they are to unleash their havoc, and that could be in the area of shooting. I sat at a desk. A military soldier brought his wife in. She sat down in front of me. I put my head down just to write notes as I was looking down, taking some notes down concerning her. She was a multiple. Next thing I know, a slam, just something hit, and I felt it go right past my head, hit my hair, and I looked up instantly. There she was. Eyes were glazed over, different personality, totally fierce instead of this little passive woman, and a military bayonet was sticking in my desk. We had to call law enforcement. It's on record. The person pulled out the knife again. I came around. I didn't know what personality this was. They attempted it again. The door opened in the office. The military sergeant looked in and said he didn't know what was going on, so he just yelled, "What's going on?" This individual lady, little lady, growled, ran for the door. He slammed the door because he was afraid, and she put the bayonet through the entire door. And that's about the time law enforcement showed up and took her off to the psychiatric ward.
Well, do they give you any idea when they are going to be called out? In other words, they expect to be called out in unison to create this period of chaos. Do they give you any idea what is coming?
The real sub-personalities that have talked said that they all have a feeling that it's just any time now. They can't see it being more than 2 or 3 or 4 years away. They're just prepared and prepped. And they feel that it's very, very soon. They all believe that Antichrist is somewhere waiting to come to power.
And they understand the spiritual battle. They understand that there is a battle between God and Satan. And they believe, of course, the Antichrist will soon be, of course, in charge. We'll be back in just a moment with Russ Dissar. Well, that's really sort of a chilling thought, and yet, you know, we should anticipate this as Christians. We know that he's coming again, and that before he can come, we're told in the 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, but before he can, the Lord comes, the man of sin is going to appear. So, and certainly I'm sure that when he comes, he'll have lots of helpers.
Absolutely, and I think biblically we can look at prophetic revelation in Scripture, you know, even like Revelation 19:19, that final day when the Antichrist takes a globalist military, probably the most supernaturally charged military ever in history, out onto the field in Revelation 19:19 to make war against the descent of the living Christ. Now, the question is, here we have the world's, and it's a future picture, and it's not, you know, it could be 10 years away. I just don't know how far away it is, but how do they ever develop this supernaturally empowered, the most highly technologically advanced military system? That's part of the end game of the satanic agenda. There is this concept in Scripture of Satan knowing prophecy, like in Revelation 12. He was there when Jesus came the first time, and he sought to devour the Christ child. It's as though he does know towards the very end that Christ is coming. Obviously, the demons all know the final judgment, the great white throne's coming. They fear that. So the concept is this Satan once again trying to stop, as he did the first time, stop Christ from returning and initiating the millennium, and then eventually the great white throne judgment? And I happen to believe that's the fury of the dark side. The demonic side has beefed up so much in the last 30 years. We've seen unprecedented demonic possession, demonic attachment, cult-oriented books and materials, and even the millions upon millions of New Agers are talking more and more about a planetary wave, a spiritual wave that will go global, that will literally shock the world into the New World Order. And I happen to believe that they might be reading what the demonic realm is planning involving this coming chaos and this rise of the Antichrist, which, by the way, Dr. Monteith, it can't occur without the manifestation of demonic presence. We are in for the most unprecedented times in human history of demonic force and power. Jesus referred to the days as never been a time prior or after. It's going to be pretty horrific spiritually.
Well, I think it's just so important that we warn the Christians, which is why I wanted to have you back on again, and why I'm looking forward to being able to carry your book when it's made available. Russ has actually written a book. It goes into the background of what these demonic spirits have told him. And certainly it's not the people speaking, it's the demonic spirits speaking through them. What's really so interesting is apparently when of course you are possessed by these spirits, your voice changes, your demeanor changes, everything changes. I have one of my friends at one time was a medium, and he just described, you know, when this demonic spirit would come, it was as if he was taken out of his body. The other spirit would take over his body. He would sit and listen, you know, as this demonic spirit spoke. And it really, it's an amazing thing to think that this is real. I would trust my life in what he says. And he's a good Christian now. We'll be back in just a moment. And this is Dr. Stan, I guess, as Russ Dissar. And, of course, he's talking about what he has been told about this time that is coming when these millions of people who have been demonically programmed will, of course, go on a rampage across our country, and of course, many of them are trained as assassins, and they will take out the political and probably many of the spiritual leaders in our country. And of course, we are moving into a period, I really believe, of chaos and crisis. And I think the only thing we can do is sound the alarm for the Christians. But what can Christians do to protect themselves when this happens?
I think the number one thing is to really become deeply versed in the Word of God and study. You know, finding out that we need to live more than just, you know, seeking happiness and peace for ourselves. We've got a mission. God's given us a great mission, and though we talk about, you know, and bring biblical revelation on Satan's agenda, and it is going to be the most horrific time in history, on that side of the fence, God has an answer. It's the Great Commission. Jesus said he'd be with us always to the very end of the age. We're not alone. The Christians in early Rome experienced a lot of battle in similar senses. The Christians in communist Russia and even China and North Korea and South Korea in that war experienced these things in the Sudan. So we need to realize that we need to just simply take up the cross. Living boldly, powerfully in faith is the safest place. It's the place where God will demonstrate his leading and power and guidance. Dr. Monteith, one of my favorite things in the book of Acts is the story of the second generation believer, Philip, that when the church was being scattered and Saul of Tarsus was breathing out murderous threats, they were scattered. Stephen was just killed, martyred, and everybody was on the, you know, there was, you know, they were just everywhere. And Philip never quit doing the mission. And he was led to go to Samaria where a big sorcerer was and the whole town was captivated. But he brought the kingdom of God as he preached Christ. And he unleashed the kingdom of God there, which forced the exposure of demonic presence. People got saved, people got healed, and many people got delivered. And the end of the story, when one individual went into that place, unleashing the gospel, the kingdom of God, that the whole city, and this, you can read this, we can read this in Acts chapter 8, the whole city was full of joy. So, if we stay silent and suppressed, that's exactly what Satan wants. But if we step out in obedience, we help to unleash. I mean, we receive it all by faith, but we unleash it by our obedience to the Word of God, to the Great Commission. And the Word of God says, greater is the one in us than the one in the world, in reference to the Holy Spirit within us, and even Satan himself. We begin an authority to trample the dark side, Luke chapter 10. So I think that the application of the mission of God and standing, stepping out into full-blown obedience, well, I have another favorite verse in Acts 9:22. When Saul of Tarsus got saved, he then got filled with the Spirit of God and began to preach Christ. A few verses down, Acts 9:22 says, he grew more and more powerful. And I think that every believer can do that. And great things. I mean, even Hebrews 11 tells the incredible, powerful things that they conquered kingdoms. We can do a lot of great things, even in the midst of the worst, and stand bravely, and still win souls. And that's the biggest part of the mission that God is moving also in this world.
And of course, I think that the only thing that is going to see us through whatever lies ahead is going to be God's protection. There's nothing that we can do. Certainly, we have to make all the regular things for our physical and family's protection. But in the final analysis, we're going to have to put our faith in God. And one reason why I do what I do today is prepare the Christians out across America who listens to this program, and we're pretty fortunate to have a very good, large listening audience, to prepare them for the very difficult times that lie ahead. And I've been at this for 47 years now, and I really believe I've been sort of prepared for this radio ministry. It's incredible how it came about. But be that as it may, if I can simply prepare or help the Christians of this country prepare for the difficult times, and they can help others, and we're going to have to get the word out that what this is really all about. This financial crisis is all engineered very artificially, and the reason that they put Ben Bernanke on 60 Minutes is to confuse you. They're doing everything they can to stop the crisis, and maybe it's going to end this year. And it's really not true. They're doing everything they can not to stop the crisis, to perpetuate the crisis, because they believe this is going to bring in a period of chaos and crisis and bring about their one world government. And at least some of those people out there understand that with this one world government is the advent of the Antichrist. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment, and we'll welcome your calls right at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest is Russ Dizdar. And Russ, certainly as you're going out across America, I'm sure you're talking to many people and trying to get the information out as much as you can. What's the response of the average Christian audience you would talk to?
Many are amazed. Again, I was a pastor 30 years in four separate churches before leaving there 2 years ago to do this only full-time. But I think that as I've done seminars and spoke different places, I think two things have occurred. Even at conferences, when I've gone to conferences, I think that people have received it because they said, yes, this we know this is coming. We might not know the details, but we can feel it, we can sense it. We know that this kind of anarchy and chaos and collapse is coming. And, of course, there are those that then get very fearful. I have many people who say, man, that really scares me, and yes, it is scary stuff, and all I can say is in 20-some years, 25, we've seen the sovereign protection of God. We've seen direct dynamic help from the Lord in the midst of, very dangerous situations that we didn't look for, but we got ourselves into, and it will become very dangerous. It's like the Baptist church where the pastor was just shot. Things like this have occurred since the birth of the church and the unleashing of the kingdom, because there is an opponent. And if we need to really understand, there's an opponent in the world that doesn't just have his origins, as the once anointed cherub and his nature being now Satan is evil, but he has a methodology, and I think many Christians understand that somewhat, but the agenda is what I see missing, Dr. Stan. I see that they don't understand how God has given strategic, prophetic insight to the actual events that Satan will develop in the world. An incremental approach, the frog in the kettle approach, but then all of a sudden, the big bash, the big chaos, the great revolt, the anarchy that will tear things down only because they have a regime waiting to come into power. All the globalists believe in this and that it's necessary. Even 2012ers, New Age individuals, as you've mentioned, Alice Bailey and Helena Blavatsky, Paul Von Ward, David Spangler, many others, Barbara Marks Hubbard, and many of the other, and even the New Agers that are out there in the remote viewing area. There are some that are saying they're seeing the future.
Hold the thought, we'll be back here in just a moment with Russ. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we've got Jeanette on the line, but I'll ask Jeanette to hold off just a moment because, Russ, I wanted you to go ahead and get your web page out and how people get in touch with you and your ministry if they'd like to.
Sure. The website is called Shatter the Darkness. Just www.shatterthedarkness.net. And from that page, we have, a total of 11 other sites that it all goes to with all the information. There's a contact information there for emailing. But the phone number here, too, is 330-470-1303.
One more time. You always have to give your telephone number twice on the radio.
Great. 330-470-1303.
All right, fine. And so let's go to Jeanette, who's calling from Watsonville. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And we're speaking of a period of chaos and crisis that is not in the too distant future. We don't know when it's going to come. I think anybody would be foolish to say, what's going to happen before the end of this year, before the end of next year? Who knows? Maybe it could happen tomorrow. Maybe it won't happen, you know, for 10 years. But I think we're growing very, very close to this period that is prophesied in the scriptures. Jeanette, do you have a question for us? Hey, it's so good to hear from you.
Thank you. Well, I have, first of all, a statement and then a question, because about 20 years ago when I was in New Mexico, I was counseling with a young woman who did have the multiple personalities, and her father was a member of the Satanic clan and the sexual abuse. I mean, the whole, everything you talk about. I seem to recall that she called herself also a chosen one. I mean, that triggered something in me. I haven't seen her in years, but we have been emailing, and she has said that her personalities have blended. First of all, do the personalities blend? Secondly, is it just men who would do the aggression, or is it women also who are programmed to do that?
Good question. So
I know I'm talking about 20 years ago, but this really struck a chord in me.
That's okay. Many of those that people have met 20 years ago have not yet been healed, and the majority of them have not yet been healed, so that's an indicator of what we need to deal with. But yes, it's both women and men as far as who will, because it doesn't make any difference the outside physical body. The inside personalities can be male personalities or female personalities,
right,
as long as they're programmed and then demonized with power to unleash almost a trance-like frenzy of activity in the Black Awakening anyway. That would be... So either way, and the attacks that we've seen have occurred both with women and men here locally when they have either triggered or cult parts that have not yet been healed were angry. And the demons, you know, there was a vengeance, and they've been sent in by the cult or coven to take some of our people out.
I remember she saying she had like 60 personalities and very angry at God. And she felt like she was a child of Satan.
Right. Yeah, and see, that's part of the difficulty. If a person is looking at a human being in front of me, and if we're just counseling them, and we don't understand the switch, there's the difficulty of dealing with the sub-personality and the demonization included. And we've had to, you know, the idea that you said earlier about have they integrated or all come together. That's where we have to use the authority of Christ to deal with the demonic side, to get the demonic side, you know, bound out of there and so forth. But it's the inner healing. It's the work of the Lord Jesus on the inside to heal the actual personalities. And we've just seen the Lord do amazing things as far as bringing the healing. We don't use the term integration. We just simply call it healing when we will see an individual come all the way back down to where there's just one single free individual. We've not seen any other way to do this other than the authority of Christ to deal with the demonic, the inner healing, the work of the Lord Jesus to bring the healing, and actually the need for biblical truth and their will to be engaged to grab a hold of that for themselves, just like you or I.
And really, I think that the significant thing is that these people really can be healed. They can drive and force the demons out of them, and they can lead a fairly normal life eventually, can't they, Russ?
Sure. We have. I did an interview here just a few months back, Kelly, that has also now written a book about her other areas of her life. But she had numerous personalities. One of our team members worked with her. They moved away. The family had me fly down to their state, and we ended up 3 years ago dealing with the last few of the personalities, which were seven sleepers that spoke German. And all of this was healed. She's been one person for the last 3 years. She speaks in churches, and she's a really cool and strong believer, and she's out there to help others now.
Well, I think the people who've actually been through something like this really appreciate the Christian message and believe in it far more strongly. And there are lots of people who've come out of the New Age and suddenly realize, of course, that this is truly demonic, and they're the finest Christians we know. And a lot of people just go to church every Sunday because they've always gone to church every Sunday, and they're Christians because they've always been Christians, but they don't really understand the true nature of this very real spiritual battle. that is being waged today. Do you have anything else you wanted to say, Jeanette, before we let you go?
Just well, the important thing, of course, is to continue praying for them.
Amen to that. And but then, of course, as you know, we have to have people confront them. Fortunately, I'm not able to do that. I do not have the time. But we have people like Russ and some of the other people that really can do that sort of thing and are trained in that. And we need to encourage them and help them and support them because they're doing a job that I personally am incapable of doing at this stage of life. But anyway, God bless you, Janet.
Thank you. It's so good to see you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And, of course, bye-bye. Jeanette's an old friend. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. When will your book be out?
We're still going to say probably 30. We've been saying this for the last 2 weeks, so 30 to 45 days. The best thing is they can look at our site, shadowthedarkness.net. We will have pre-orders, amazon.com, pretty soon. And we're just trying to get all the details done, and as soon as we're hoping 30 to 45 days to have it in people's hands.
All right, and I think that's really so vitally important that people get the information. And what's the title again?
It's called The Black Awakening. Subtitle is Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers.
The Black Awakening, the Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. And basically, they really are trained, and these people are trained as assassins, they're trained in violence, and they're waiting till the word is given. And it's not imaginary, it's really very real. And certainly as you deal with these people and these personalities, you say many times there will be a number of different personalities in one individual. Usually we think of a person with a split personality. There's one or two personalities. In fact, there's been such a conscious effort to make us believe that the entities are not real. There was an organization. People can go up on the internet and look it up. It's called the False memory syndrome. All these people who have these split personality, dissociative personalities, false memory. But would you like to tell us a little bit about that? Because I think this shows the extent that the intelligence agencies, the United States intelligence agencies, are involved in introducing these demonic spirits. Because actually a couple of key CIA psychiatrists were up behind this false memory syndrome. Would you like to talk about this organization, nationwide organization?
Sure, yeah. I believe it's still based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, yeah, it is nationwide. And what we have is, an organization that, you know, in the front part of their presentation is simply they're there to protect parents and people that would have what they would consider false allegations against them. And so they're there to, you know, kind of protect individuals from false allegations, but the more you look into the organization, you find that they're kind of on an attack mode, even monitoring and searching out those who are speaking about the subject, especially in the 80s and 90s where they went after lawsuits and, you know, came out against individuals and against psychiatrists and against counselors. And the difficulty was, in the earlier stages, we didn't understand the concept of denial programming, things like that. So a lot of havoc was done by the False Memory Syndrome Foundation against those who wanted to help. Now, they had two, Dr. Orne and Dr. Jolly West, CIA involved, and experts in mind control, splitting, programming, triggering. They knew the stuff backwards and forwards. And here they are, as part of the founding membership of this group, along with parents that were accused by their own kids originally of being perpetrators. So we have a real, suspect development of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. I even talked with a colonel in the U.S. military that deals with advanced weaponry and mind control issues and so forth. He was a part of what you know about, the spoon bending project at the Pentagon.
Right.
I emailed him about a girl that has this mind control and sub-personalities. His first response back, Dr. Monteith, was, that we need to turn people like that over to the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. So here is an active military individual, Los Alamos, that develops non-lethal weapons, been a part of the Pentagon, spoon-bending parties, immediately responding by saying, you know, turn these people over to the false, because they know how to shut them down.
Sure.
We've seen it happen, giving them codes, triggers. We've seen them shut down multiples and silence them. And also, look at the funding they've got. I think research has to be done on where they get their funding.
CIA's got all sorts of unlimited funds, and a lot of it comes from the drug traffic. But we won't get off into that. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, you got a quick question?
Yeah, back to the discussion of weaponized hypnosis. I wondered what the connection might be between that and video games that kids are playing and the programming, especially since all these games have such occult settings or so many occult implications.
Good question. Do you have any thoughts on that, Russ?
I sure do. I think that we need to realize how the demonic, when we know how the demonic realm works, in the Old Testament, demonic presence could be attached to objects. That's why Israel was not permitted to take the objects from the demonized nations. We have people in the ancient brotherhood, the really sophisticated, the real kinds of Luciferians who know how to do ancient rituals, raise spirits, apply them to, or send them on things. They understand the idea of gateway and doorways. Some of the games that are out there are clearly on the level at least opening doorways to the demonic realm, along with the projection of this insidious, you know, violence, slaying, killing, which, again, that alone, we see connections to that with Columbine very clearly. We see that there's been young people that could practice with some of those games. But I'm saying that I think this helps, like Dungeons and Dragons of old in their 13th level that had the names of the actual demon spirits out of the Satanic Bible in that material. The difficulty is when you call on these things and open doors to these things, they can be added. At the very least, oppression to the point of attachment and deep influence to those young people that are being bombarded with the violence, the bloodshed, the indiscriminate, unconscious, you know, type killing. That's dangerous. It's very dangerous.
It sure is, and it's just like Ouija boards. You know, it's just a game. No, it's not just a game, ladies and gentlemen. You're conjuring up the spirits. Hey, thanks very much, Mike. Let's go to Mark calling from Florence, Oregon. Mark, got a quick question? We're running out of time.
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. I tuned in so late today, I missed the name of your guest there. Could I get it?
It's Russ Dizdar, D-I-Z-D-A-R, Russ Dizdar.
I've heard that name before. Hi, Russ.
How you doing there? Great to have you.
Oh, thank you, Russ. I appreciate all your great work. I've heard your name, and I've heard much for a longer time the area of your expertise here, what you're covering, and it certainly takes a brave soul. It's right in the area of exorcism, the way I see it. Russ, you mentioned a phrase which I've only heard mentioned once before by Alex Jones recently, and he mentioned it in passing. Is it the Dark Awakening or the Black Awakening?
They call it the Black Awakening. And the idea is, contrary to a spiritual awakening, like the great evangelical awakening, Jonathan Edwards and mm-hmm. Whitfield and so forth, they believe a spiritual presence and power will be unleashed that will help unleash the trained, you know, warriors, empowering them. So they call it the Black Awakening in the sense of Satanic Awakening.
Sure.
Unless it's kind of the counterpart to a Christian revival.
Exactly. I was sitting there after I took this military individual from Fort Bragg. They knew Ingo Swann. They knew Michael Aquino. They knew all kinds of individuals. They could speak 5-6 other languages. I would talk to over a dozen other personalities in this highly trained. They had training from Colonel Shannon, the 1st Earth Battalion. All these things they had. They were the most spiritually powered person I've ever met from the other side, to where they can use the powers. Now, this is the individual that that told me the first time they brought it up in the context of talking about God's power and His manifestation. they said, well, you haven't seen anything yet. What you don't understand, Russ, what's coming is an unleashing globally and in our culture of such satanic presence along with those who've been trained in the underground. And here's the point. They've had over 50 years to continue to develop this underground, and I'm going to tell you, supernaturally secret development all this time. We're only seeing hundreds of thousands of the victims who are trying to get out. We're not seeing maybe the other 4 or 5 million that are completely controlled, intact, and prepared. And here's what occurs. When the trigger occurs, the inside personalities that are filled with rage, training, expertise in weapons, bombings, shootings, killings, cuttings, fighting, that are highly charged demonically, when they spring up, we've watched them right in front of us take our own people out and bring them to the ground, and they are just, and you think in terms of hundreds of thousands being released, not just one individual walking into a Baptist church and shooting somebody, but you're talking now thousands upon thousands. What's that going to call
for? That was my question. I was going to ask you what the scenario would, how it would manifest, what would it look like, and I think you're describing that.
I think we're moving into a terrible period of chaos and crisis, Mark. I just hope and pray that we'll have the strength to go through it and that the Christians will recognize what's happened and it will draw them closer to the Lord. Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.
God bless you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Hang right on there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Dan calling from Pennsylvania. Do you have a question for our guest, Dan?
I sure do, Stan. Good evening. Yeah, Russ, I'm a little confused. You were talking about training, and you're talking about possession. Now, I've encountered people with these buried personalities that just at the surface, because, you know, it seems like whenever a person of God's Spirit comes around these people, it makes them very uncomfortable, and it causes them great anguish, and things kind of burble out. But are you saying that these are people that have been trained by a cult, or have they been openly possessed, and the demonic nature of their hidden side is the ones that are going to become the new Nephesh, it sounds like.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because they've discussed the concept of Nephilim, Moonchild, and they believe that they are not just demonically possessed as far as personalities. They believe that because of the transgenerational bloodline, the powers are in the blood, like the idea of the Aryan race. I don't see them as direct Nephilim, but as an attempt at recreating some kind of super satanically controlled, again, you know, fodder for the fire. They're all going to be used in a bad way because they have suicide programming too. But what happens is this. They create the sub-personalities in childhood on. They begin to do the demonic side of things, marriage to the beast, all these kind of rituals that completely demonize the substructure. That substructure then is you're having personalities, you know, being trained with weapons, personalities being trained in poisons, personalities
now, who's training them? Russ, who's training them? I don't mean to interrupt you.
Who's training them?
Is it an occult organization, or?
Oh, I believe both sides, yeah. I think the ancient brotherhood, I think that we have what is the old Nazis call the Black Flame. They call themselves the Brotherhood, or the Ancient Brotherhood. You would think in terms of the highest order of satanic Luciferian.
Wow.
I mean, they really believe in Satan. They really believe. But they believe he's the good guy, and they really believe they're in touch. They believe
they're
in
submitting
the agenda.
They're submitting themselves to this. They're totally blanking out the Creator God and going to the God of this world to find their power.
Absolutely.
But, of course, a lot of them are children as well, and, of course, they are being programmed. Many times this will happen when they're very young. Isn't that right, Russ?
Oh, sure. It all began, like with all the victims you find today, it all began in their birth. There's rituals that are done pre-conception. There are rituals to demonize the fertilization, you know, the fertilized egg. We don't have time to go into that right now, but
is that right?
You got to understand. Aleister Crowley talked about the Moonchild.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much for calling, Dan.
Thank you very much, Russ. Keep on going.
Bye. We'll do the best we can. And anyway, Russ, God bless you. Thank you very much for being with us. And we'll look forward to when that book gets out.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we do hope you've enjoyed the program. And, of course, that you understand that there really are spiritual forces out there. Those of you who've read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, at least have a glimpse of it. Remember, this is just a primer, and of course, Russ has gotten so much further into this, and of course, we have so many other things. We have our talk on the forbidden secret. There really is a secret. It's been passed down for 5,000 years, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. It will help you to understand so many of the things you hear that you would be unable to understand otherwise. And then, of course, we actually have the material going into the background of the satanic cults. We have the book Satanic Crimes, and a four-tape set by the same title. We have the book The Beautiful Side of Evil, and a four-tape set on the supernatural. We have a book, Hostage to the Devil, written by Malachi Martin, and a four-tape set of my interviews with Malachi, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. We have a book called A Diary of a Devil Hunter, a gentleman who actually worked with Russ Dizdar some years ago, going around the country lecturing to police forces about the satanic influence, the satanic cults, satanic crimes. And then the FBI would send their expert out to say there is no such thing, these things just don't exist. And then we have the CIA seem to be intimately involved with the False Memory Syndrome organization, and check it out on the Internet. Jolly West, who was a CIA psychiatrist, and Sidney Gottlieb on the false memory syndrome. Fortunately, we do have the Internet, so you can check all of these things out, and you'll find it fascinating, frightening, and yet, of course, exciting to realize that God is real, that, of course, we are on the right side. People say, well, of course, God is in total control. Well, I don't know how it works. I don't think anybody really understands the relationship between God and Satan, between good and evil, why a good God would allow these things to happen. But he has, and, well, maybe someday we'll understand. We certainly don't understand today. But we do know that terrible times are coming. What motivated the Nazi movement was the occult, was the demonic forces behind Adolf Hitler, who was actually a disciple of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and regularly read her book, The Secret Doctrine. We don't suggest you read it. You can get all that you really need to know out of The Secret Doctrine. In my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, it's not only less expensive, but you don't want to expose yourself to a lot of this material. But we hope all of this will draw you closer to our Lord. If you have not yet seen the DVDs, they sold their if you've not yet seen the DVDs, they sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. We recommend this. You need to get Pastor Billy Crone's The Final Countdown. It's 2 of 5 DVD sets. It's excellent material, and it's got a lot of great video clips that will help you understand that this is not imaginary. It is very real. You'll want to get his set on creation, the 2 5-tape sets, 5 DVD sets, I should say, and then his material on certainly on the Get Alive. That's just a single DVD, the story of his conversion to Christianity, the 4 DVD set on RFID identification. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, everything is being done to identify you. New legislation is being passed so that every animal, every little chicken is going to have some sort of an RFID identifier on them. Why is that? Because they want everything chipped, ladies and gentlemen, and eventually they want to chip you and your children. And we're moving into a surveillance society. That's why they're putting all the video cameras up every place you look. You know, it's, you know, in our major cities, there are video cameras. Oh, they're using them to get the bad guys, and if you believe that, why, you're incredibly naive. They're setting up a surveillance society so everybody can be watched. If you haven't heard my talk on the planned police state and the syllabus, if you haven't got a material in concentration camps, get it. Help us to get it out while we still can. And, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We are at war today.
Yeah. You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. There's no let-up in the outrage over the bonuses paid to AIG employees. Correspondent Jerry Boatlander reports from Capitol Hill.
Lawmakers are blasting the $165 million the company said it was contractually obligated to pay out as arrogant, greedy, and outrageous. This is Montana Senator John...